he played guitar, jamming good with wind.
Wow. We're going to end this hour talking with our good friend John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck and New Sounds at our partner station WNYC, about Sunday's death, David Bowie. Almost impossible to imagine him gone. Just had a birthday, 69 years old.
Just had his 69th birthday, on which he released his final record, Black Star. So dramatic to the end, you know?
He had exactly,
an amazing
theatrical
sense. Yep.
Exactly. There is so much to consider in his repertoire.
Yeah. And he is one of those artists of whom you would have to say it's not just the music. I mean,
exactly.
People in the film and fashion worlds, of course, but think of what he did for kids who might not have fit so neatly into gender or sexual orientation roles in the 1970s with characters like Ziggy Stardust, the song you were just playing. You know, what he did for people sort of culturally was really important.
And it relates to his background, which was always a bit of a puzzle for him and for the people that worked around him. Here's an interview you did just last week with Tony Visconti, who was David Bowie's producer for four decades.
I met David when he was 19 and I was 21. No, maybe a little older, 22.
Uh-huh.
And it was in London, and his publisher beckoned me to his office and said, "We have this singer-songwriter. We don't know how to categorize him. He's kind of different. He does things. Every song's a different kind of song."
Every song's a different kind of song. It's absolutely the truth.
Yeah. And Visconti went on to talk about how Bowie was a big fan of Anthony Newley, and that if he hadn't gone into the rock thing, he told Tony, he probably would have gone into music theater.
Bowie himself had difficulty categorizing his career, and he describes it here in a 2000 interview with the BBC's Jeremy Paxman as an attempt to make sense of what was going on in his own brain.
I was not a natural performer. I didn't feel at ease on stage, ever. And I had created this one character, Ziggy Stardust, that it seemed that I would be the one that would play him because nobody else was doing my songs, and the chances of my actually getting a musical mounted were very slim. And so I became Ziggy Stardust for that period, whatever. And things sort of led. I liked the idea, and I felt really comfortable going on stage as somebody else. And it seemed a rational decision to keep on doing that. And so I got quite besotted with the idea of just creating character after character. And I think probably there must have been a point in the late 70s, well, I know there was, where I felt that the characters were in fact getting in the way of myself as a writer. And I endeavored to kind of kill them off and start writing for me as just a singer-songwriter. I'm not sure if I was ever successful in that, because I do take a degree of theatricality when I go on stage all the time. That's how I deal with the stage situation. I'm still not comfortable on stage.
Isn't that fantastic? He's not sure if he was ever successful doing his own work.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, you think of the singer-songwriter business, and what was Hunky Dory, the album that has Changes on it, other than a statement of a young singer-songwriter emerging as, you know, a kind of a mature artist?
With artistic themes. I mean, he talks about Andy Warhol. That's a great song. Bewley Brothers, I think, is on that album.
That's right.
You know, I think of Dylan and the mysterious lyrics there, but as he got into the contemporary period, so many different facets.
Right. So we went from Ziggy Stardust to the Thin White Duke, the Berlin Trilogy, those remarkable records that really burst through the boundaries of rock and got into something much more experimental and which would have a big impact on sort of the avant-garde classical group as well as experimental rockers. And then on into the 80s where he was a pop star, basically. You think of songs like Let's Dance, which topped the charts,
right.
Huge hit for him. And then getting into the more industrial sound of the 90s, working with Trent Reznor, by which point he was basically a New Yorker. And, you know, a lot of his recent albums have had a very kind of New York-centric sound to them.
And Bowie's in the soundtrack of the movie The Martian, of course, because it's about space, as you would imagine.
Right.
And also, in that period of time that you describe, he becomes a movie star, the man who fell to Earth. The Walter Tevis story turned into a movie, which is now part of Lazarus, this off-Broadway show, which is a big hit here.
Right, and which totally sold out. And one song of which is on the new album. They recorded four. According to Tony Visconti, they recorded four songs, and Bowie wasn't sure whether they would end up in the musical or on the record. All four ended up in the musical. One of them, the song Lazarus, is on the record.
Look up here. I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. And on Friday, he released the video for this song, which features Bowie lying in a hospital bed. It is impossible today to view that video and to hear those lyrics like, look at me, I'm in heaven, without thinking this means something completely different today than it did on Friday when the video was released.
He began as an actor, you know. And
a mime.
A mime.
Yes.
Exactly, which he used on stage in some of his original, you know, ultra glam performances.
Yeah.
You've got to feel that the hand of that actor is in all of this.
Yes, and Tony Visconti today wrote a little statement saying that this was intended by Bowie and his circle of friends as a kind of a parting gift. He knew what was happening, and he knew this would be his last record. So, you know, it's always dangerous to look for intimations of mortality in Bowie lyrics because you can find them going all the way back to Space Oddity, all the way back to even before he was David Bowie, when he was still David Jones. But this time around, there do seem to be a lot of kind of messages hidden in or maybe hiding in plain sight in the lyrics of the record Black Star.
Bowie has left the building, but certainly not our hearts.
Well, you know, he's had such a long and varied career and has kind of anticipated so many waves of change in the music world that it's impossible to think that we've heard the last of him. I do know there are other songs that were recorded for Black Star that we have not yet heard, so hopefully still more to come.
John Schaefer, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
John Schaefer is the host of Soundcheck and New Sounds on our partner station WNYC, thinking about David Bowie. Let's think about him now.
Just for one day.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway's resilience reporting is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. For more, go to rockfound.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.